You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN.
Greetings and welcome. It is a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Udash, Mark Dukes with you, and we've got Andrew on the other side of the glass for a Thursday. Lot to get to. The NFL season is back for 2023. As Thursday night kickoff, the world champion Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions coming up tonight. We'll have it for you at 6:30 right here on KGYM. All of our frequencies just past 7 with the kickoff from Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. We'll talk a lot of NFL football coming up today. We'll have our predictions, what we think is going to happen as far as the National Football League is concerned. Latest as far as Iowa and Iowa State, talk about that as well. John Bonenkamp is going to join us, the Swiss Army knife of all things journalism here in the state of Iowa. We'll talk Iowa and Iowa State. We'll talk college football and more than likely talk a little Dodger baseball with John Bonenkamp as well. That'll be coming up on the show here today. Welcome in here on 1600 ESPN, KGYM, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Every day on the Gym Class, we are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union, and you can check them out online at dupaco.com. And we thank them very much. You can go to that website. You can also go to our website at kgymradio.com to learn more about what they do at DuPaco and DuPaco.com. Coming your way from the Circus Sports Iowa studios here on a chilly, I guess, early September afternoon in eastern Iowa. Mark, good afternoon. How you doing today?
Good afternoon, Scott. Doing well. Good afternoon, everyone. And buried the lead. We'll get to Bowling Night in America later on.
You're darn right we will. We will do that because we don't have one of those nights very often. So we will talk about that coming up in just a little bit. And Andrew.
Yeah.
How are you?
Doing good.
Excellent. Excellent. Want to make sure you're awake over there.
Oh, yeah. I'm awake.
Everything's A-okay.
Yep.
Excited for football.
I mean, yeah. Like, first game is championship from last season.
If you're a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, if you're a Chiefs fan. Yeah.
Which I think the world knows yours truly is. Suffered 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now reaping the benefits. But going to be a tough one tonight.
Yep.
Going to be a tough one tonight. And we'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone, give Andrew a call. Love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. Before we get to the National Football League, of course, we are 2 days away, just about 47 and a half hours away from Seahawks Series 23 as Iowa and Iowa State will go at it. We'll have it at 12:30 for you right here on KGYM with the Cyclone Radio Network with John Walters, Eric Heft, and everybody involved on the broadcast. Looking forward to the game. Should be a wonderful Saturday afternoon. Game time temperature around 81 degrees, sunshine, and you're not going to get a whole lot better than it will be as far as the weather over at Ames coming up on Saturday. Not a whole lot changed today, Mark. No big swings as far as the lines are concerned or anything like that. You're starting to get a little bit more of the back and forth banter between the two fan bases at this point, but nothing too out of the ordinary. This is not Auburn, Alabama we're dealing with, or Michigan, Ohio State, or anything of that ilk. We still have some civility here in the state of Iowa, at least for the moment.
Well, so far, again, it's been a quiet week in that regard compared to other years when there was a bit of hostility between the two programs. But I think so. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think there's some mutual respect for each team these days. Iowa State under Matt Campbell has done quite well, and Kirk Ferentz has done as well. I mean, it's been close games. You don't want to give anybody bulletin board material. And I really don't think Seth Anderson's comment made two hoots of difference to Iowa State's defensive backs. But we'll see. We got a couple days left.
Iowa has not lost in Ames since 2011. That was the triple overtime 44-41 game. Remember that when Iowa and Iowa State used to put up points in this series? And, hey, you know what? And the podcast Before the Boom is going to drop tomorrow, late tomorrow morning around the noon hour or so. We encourage you to go to kgymradio.com, usual places you get your podcasts. We will have it for you, panel together, you and I, as well as Todd and Spencer getting together and talking Iowa and Iowa State. We all like low-scoring games, which can only mean one thing. This is going to blow the lid off of everything, right? You usually get that. I just don't get the feeling. I don't think these two offenses have it in them, man.
It could happen, but I think it's very doubtful. And, I mean, first team to 20 is going to win this game, right? But I'm not sure either one will get to 20.
Not sure the first team that doesn't get in the teens is going to win this thing.
That could very well be. And if you watch our podcast available beginning tomorrow, I think all four of us are just perplexed about what's going to happen. And me personally, by 6 o'clock or whenever that game ends, I don't think I'll be surprised either way.
Unless it's 46-44. That would shock me. That would shock me. Don't think it's going to be the case, though. Iowa leads the all-time series 46-23. By the way, our friend of the program, Rob Gray, if you're a Cyclone fan, very nice article, very good article that he wrote about the 98 game, the game that kind of turned everything around as far as Iowa State is concerned. Iowa, as most Hawk and Cyclone fans know, the Hawkeyes pretty much owned the 80s and 90s in this particular rivalry. And they were not, you were at a lot of those games, Mark. They weren't particularly entertaining at all. We have entertaining games now between Iowa and Iowa State, save for the fact that we haven't had a lot of high-scoring games over the last handful of years. But still, it's been a very, very good rivalry and one that America takes notice of, which is good.
Well, yeah, through the Hayden Fry years, you could pretty much name the score in an Iowa victory, and then Dan McCarney came along and won some games against Iowa, and all of a sudden it's been very, very competitive, and I think that's good. I don't like to see a 57-3 blowout in a rivalry game.
I would agree. 319-366-1600. Greetings to our friend Ralph in Riverside, who reminds everyone, if you would like to be in the KGYM knockout pool, and if you want to take either the Chiefs or the Lions, you need to get everything squared away by kickoff tonight. And you can go to our website at kgymradio.com. Thanks to Imon Communications, the official sponsor of not only Fantasy Football Talk here on KGYM, but also of the knockout pool. So if you want to take the Chiefs or the Lions tonight, you need to get that taken care of by kickoff. Best of luck to everybody out there. That's not only from us, but from Ralph in Riverside to all his fellow knockout pool players. Cage and Troy asking, how will Derek Carr do in NOLA? We will get to that here in just a couple of moments. Down the line, we'll also have an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for you from Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. We will get to that coming up here in just a little bit before we talk to John Bonenkamp about Iowa State and other associated things with the world of sports. And we'll do that coming up in just a little bit. We do have NFL football tonight. Chiefs Lions from Arrowhead in Kansas City. Again, 6:30 tonight is the broadcast time. The pregame from Westwood One. Chiefs will unfurl the world championship banner tonight at Arrowhead. And they may or may not do so without or with the services of Travis Kelce? That remains to be seen. That's the biggest question going into tonight's game. And we'll see if the all-everything tight end will play for the Chiefs. I have no idea. I do know this. The Chiefs did activate Matt Bushman today from the practice squad, who is a backup tight end. Read into that what you will.
Well, the last I read is that Kelce is a game-time decision. This is a tough guy who rarely misses a game. And if there's any way he can play, he will. But without Kelce, the Chiefs are lose a dynamic part of the offense. Not that the Chiefs can't beat the Lions. We also know that Chris Jones is not going to be on the field. He might be on the sideline in a suit taking in the presentation of the world championship stuff that the Chiefs are going to get tonight. But that'd be two big components. And by the way, I think Jones will be back sooner or later. Too bad he isn't with the Chiefs from the start. But I'm anxious to see this game. A lot of hype on the Lions to maybe win the NFC North. I got to see it before I believe it. Good luck to Jack Campbell and Sam Laporta tonight, former Hawkeyes that will be in action, in addition to some Eastern Iowans on the Chiefs. So I'm anxiously looking forward to the opener.
I am too. I'll tell you right now, as good as Travis Kelce is, Chris Jones is still the guy that the Chiefs are going to miss more if both are not playing in this game tonight. I've wrestled with this for the last 36 hours or so. I think if Kelce thinks he can play, he's going to be out there. The only way I see him not playing is if the trainers pretty much tie him to the bench and make sure he's not getting into the game. He's not missed a game in about 9+ years. He's been very, very durable. It's a marathon. It is not a sprint. We all know that. Everyone's going to get dinged up as far as the NFL season or football in general is concerned. Do you want him available for the second week and beyond that down the line more at 100%? That remains to be seen. 6921 says, I hope the Chiefs win by 3 and to help out the Bears. Are you rooting for the Chiefs, Mark, to help out, or is it way too early to even worry about that?
I have no rooting interest until Sunday afternoon.
So you don't even want to see your fellow NFC North compatriots go down in a heap before that?
Well, that would help, but it's such a long season. In the case of Kelce, after this game, the Chiefs are going to have 9 days off. So maybe you sacrifice one game, which the Chiefs still could very easily win, for his health the rest of the season. 4 months is a long time to be playing, and, you know, maybe it'd be beneficial if Kelce rested a week.
Yeah. 0835 says he will play. Go, Pack, go. That's probably for you, Mark. We'll see. 319-366-1600 here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Great games this week. Always are when you talk about the first week of the National Football League season. And we'll get to some college. We got some college football coming up here in just a moment for 1385. We always give our predictions, sure to go wrong. I have not burned the predictions that we had for the Major League Baseball season, even though heaven only knows I should have with you and I and Cal at the beginning of the year. By the way, Cal will join us on Tuesday to talk Major League Baseball coming up next week here on the Gym Class program as we get down to the nitty-gritty as far as the MLB season is concerned. I'm a little bit more confident in some NFL picks, Mark, than I surely am with my MLB picks.
Yeah, I don't know about that. As I analyze things and try to decide what's going to happen, you never know about injuries and variables that are out of our control at this point. But I've got a Super Bowl matchup that I'm not entirely confident about because I can see many other teams factoring in.
I would agree. Who do you like? I'll let you give your AFC divisional winners first, unless you want me to do so.
No, I can do that.
Go ahead.
I think the AFC East is still going to be Bills. A lot of hype about the Jets because of Aaron Rodgers. If he sees another UFO, maybe that put the Jets over the top. I don't know. But the Bills are a very well-rounded team, and Josh Allen is a heck of a quarterback. A lot of people expecting the Chargers to contend with the Chiefs in the AFC West. I don't see it. I think a team that's going to be improved is Denver. But I think clearly the Chiefs are the class of that division. And then in the AFC South, I like Jacksonville. A lot of people like Tennessee. The Colts are kind of sneaky. The Texans are along for the ride. But I'm going to run with the Jaguars in that division. The AFC North, very tough division. I mean, you got the
best
all
in
four
football.
Teams.
Best in football.
Yeah, all four teams could finish with winning records. But I do have the Bengals narrowly over the Ravens. I'm not yet a believer in the Browns, but the Steelers could be sneaky. Never a losing record under Mike Tomlin, and I expect them to be very competitive. But I'll go with the Bengals in the AFC.
All right. We agree on three of the four, Buffalo, Jacksonville, and Kansas City. In the North, because mainly buoyed by their third-place schedule, and 0835 says he believes a sleeper in the AFC is going to be the Ravens. I agree. I think the Ravens are going to be better. Dobbins is back. He's healthy. They had so many injuries last year for Harbaugh and the Raiders. It's such a tough division, though. That third-place schedule, non-division schedule, and they're not being talked about. I'm hitching my wagon to the Steelers. I think the Steelers are going to win the North, but I think Cincinnati and Baltimore are going to get into the playoffs as wild card teams. NFC East, I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. The North I thought was tough. I think, to be honest with you, I can see any of the four teams winning the NFC North, Mark. I think Detroit edges out your Bears. I'm not rooting for the Lions tonight, but I am drinking the Kool-Aid, the Honolulu Blue Kool-Aid of the Detroit Lions. South, Cage and Troy, how will Carr do in NOLA? He's going to do very well, thank you. Michael Thomas, I think, has another year under his belt after getting healthy again. Olave is going to have a big year. I think Kamara is going to have a good year. I think the New Orleans Saints win the South, and San Francisco, I think, is going to win the West because I think only Seattle has a heartbeat out there for the other teams. Who do you like, Mark?
In the NFC East, I think it might be one of the better divisions in football. In fact, I know it is, with the Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, and Commanders. Those last two teams I mentioned, you know, they're very good teams. But narrowly, I'm gonna take the Eagles over the Cowboys, and would not be surprised if the Cowboys win the division. I can't believe I said that, Shea and Irving. NFC West, certainly the 49ers. I think the Seahawks are getting too much love. Great defense. We'll see if Purdy can last the year, or at least most of it. NFC North, I still think the Vikings have all kinds of weapons. And I'm going to go with Minnesota in the north, but I think you can throw a blanket by and large over several of those teams. The NFC South, I'm with you on the Saints. I don't think it's a very good division. I think Carolina is going to be improved, maybe Atlanta a bit, but the Saints definitely have the edge in that division. So there's the division picks.
All right. I am not confident in my Super Bowl pick. I am also, people are going to say, Scott, you're not picking your Chiefs, man. What are you doing? You're doing the, okay, I'm picking somebody else, so, you know, everything can come out okay at the end. I think the window is closing in the Buffalo Bills, and if they're going to get to a Super Bowl, it's going to be now. I like Buffalo and Philadelphia in my Super Bowl, Mark.
I'm half with you. I like the Bills an awful lot, and I'm going to ride with the 49ers, although I wonder if the 49ers can get there with Brock Purdy, who I like a lot. But he's no Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, or what have you. I mean, the AFC, I can see the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Ravens. In the NFC, I think Dallas and New Orleans are going to be a factor, and certainly Philadelphia. But better or worse, the Bills and 49ers.
You like the Bills to win?
I do.
I do, too. Wow, how about that? We both are picking the Buffalo Bills to win their first Super Bowl. They'll have to come up with another 30 for 30. Cajun Troy says she's putting her money on the Saints to win the Super Bowl against the Bengals. We both like the Saints to win the NFC South, Cajun Troy. I think they're going to do it. I think Derek Carr might be the right fit for them. Jameis is still in the background. He's going to get some snaps this year. They still got Taysom Hill. And it's not a great division. I like the Saints. I like the Saints to do some damage in the NFC coming up this year. So there you go. Picks that we'll look back on around the first of the year, and we will laugh. I will keep them at the desk. We'll have a great chuckle. Not quite the laugh we're going to have, the hearty laugh that we're going to have when we go back to the MLB picks from the beginning of the year, but, you know, we'll see. 319-366-1600 here on the Jim Class on KGYM. Going to get to John Bonenkamp coming up here in just a couple of moments. But first, we're going to throw it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. Is, as always, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. And you can find their full menu at emilshideaway.com. They're open at 4 o'clock. With a fully stocked bar and a family-friendly dining room, plus catering, online ordering, and curbside pickup and delivery at Emil's Hideaway.
The University of Iowa announced today the football game against Illinois is now a sellout, November 18th, meaning that for the second straight year, Iowa will have complete home game sellouts. And the Cy-Hawk Series volleyball version last night at Extreme Arena, terrific match. Iowa State prevailed 3-2 after being down two sets to the Hawkeyes. So a lot of good entertainment down there in Coralville last night with Iowa State prevailing. And prayers up for Mike Williams, former Buccaneer and Bills wide receiver, fourth round draft pick out of Syracuse. He was injured in a construction accident recently and reportedly is on life support in a Tampa Bay hospital. So tough news there.
Yeah, very, very tough indeed. And one Metro football team in action tonight. Wash is on the road in Davenport to take on Davenport West at Brady Street Stadium tonight. So the third week of the high school football season getting underway this evening. Cajun Troy, also saying Jimmy Graham in the red zone, book it. And as far as Iowa State volleyball, which was very, very entertaining last night, 71-48 says reverse sweep in volleyball. Volleyball is fun to watch. It is also, there may not be a sport that has more momentum swings than volleyball. And so often you see the team that gets up 2-0 and then loses the next two sets, almost always they lose that fifth set. Almost always.
And that's what happened last night. Iowa State came back and won two sets after being down 2-0 and prevailed in the third. But good entertainment down there and the good old Cy-Hawk series.
Indeed. It's tied now 1-1, or however many points they attach to it, before the football game coming up this week. We'll take a break, come back. John Bonenkamp joins us next here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Back on the Gym Class 333 here on a Thursday edition of the program. Coming up tomorrow, second edition of the Emil Sideaway Pick 6. And we'll have that for you. Chance to win, for one of our listeners, a $30 gift card to Emil Sideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. And everything you wanted to know about the Cy-Hawk game, and we're afraid to ask. That'll be coming up on a Friday edition of the program right here on KGYM. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. Mitch Keller's number one fan, Mark, says if the Yanks were in the Central Division of the American League, they would be 2.5 games out of first place. And if the Twins were in the East, they would be 15.5 games out. Lucky for the Twins, the Yanks are in the playoffs, so the Twins might have a chance to advance this year, which is true. That's been their bugaboo.
You can play that game damn near every year, okay?
You can. You can. Very true. Twins are playing good ball, though. Twins are playing better baseball. Maybe not in the stratosphere of the favorite team of our next guest, and that is our friend John Bonenkamp, who joins us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM during Cy Hawk Week. And, of course, John's Los Angeles Dodgers running away with things in the National League West. Just you had it all pegged out. You had everything, up there saying, okay, we're going to be in this position after May, and then we're going to start to pull it out, all-star break, and now look at you guys.
Yep, it's the way it always works with them. You know, that's why you never get worried. 162-game schedule, you never worry about April and May. You just want to see progress, and that's what they did. So here we are. The magic number is, I forgot to check that today. I think maybe it is down to 9. I'm not sure.
Single digits, though, right?
I think so. It's right 10 or 9. I'm not sure, but it's right in that. It's right in that range there. So,
can you share with Mark? I apologize, but can you share with me the voodoo magic recipe that you you laid into Lance Lynn to make him a pitcher?
Well, until last night.
Wow.
They figure out a way to fix guys. You know, they will bring in guys and they figure out ways for the most part. I mean, there's been some guys that they haven't, fixed, but they fixed guys. They fixed Jason Hayward. He's had a really nice season for them. It's just kind of the way they do things. They find little flaws and how can we fix this? And that's what they do.
What'd you see in that Braves series with the Dodgers?
I didn't take a whole lot away from that. I mean, it would have been nice to have at least split. I didn't want to lose 3 out of 4, but I mean, they beat them 2 out of 3 back in June when they weren't playing well. The Dodgers did. So, it's hard to say. And I said to somebody today, the postseason's such a crapshoot anyway. So, I was telling a Braves fan, I said, well, I'm not worried about it because it'll be the Phillies they see in the NLDS or in the NLCS. So I'm not worried. No, I mean, that's a really good Braves team. That's a team that hits the ball. Everybody hits the ball. And they pitch well. So, and then they go down and lose down in St. Louis. So go figure. I mean, that's baseball, I guess. So
that's baseball. That's baseball. Yep. Well, here we are. Everyone's favorite week of the year.
Oh, yeah.
With Cy Hawk Week. But, as Mark has pointed out, as far as Cy Hawk Weeks go, this has been one of the quieter ones, at least to 3:37 on Thursday afternoon anyway.
Yeah, nobody's really said anything. The Iowa players made some jokes yesterday about the fans and, the way they've been treated over there. But for the most part, it has been pretty quiet. I mean, neither team's ranked. There's a lot of questions around both of them. It's kind of a key game for both early in the year in the sense of, how much progress do you make from week one to week two. But for the most part, it has been, there hasn't been the hype that, has kind of surrounded this, from in past years.
Let's break this down a little bit, John. Let's take the Iowa offense against the Iowa State defense, keys for both.
I think for Iowa, the key for me is improved offensive line play. If they can get better line play, they can do a lot of different things. They can do a lot of, you're going to see maybe a little more balance than what you saw last week when they just could not run the ball. So they have to be better up front. For Iowa State's defense, it's an interesting defense, and Western Illinois kind of played something similar to this a few years ago, and it's a very versatile defense. It's a way to really kind of keep the offense guessing. To me, the biggest thing for them is just keep Iowa, keep Iowa's offensive line struggling. I mean, do different things, do stunts, do blitzes, do different things like that. And try not to let them get into a rhythm that might make this a different game.
Do you think we see – Iowa did a lot of 2 and 3 tight end sets, 1-4 tight end set.
Yes.
Last week. Not a lot of fullback. Do you see that staying the MO, or a little bit more fullback to get that running game perhaps going a little bit more?
You know, that might be an option this week. I mean, because what they did last week, at times it worked, but at times it didn't. And so, I Iowa's offense has always used that fullback. Well, again, but that isn't a position where they have a lot of experience at. So they may try to work that in a little bit more, try to, you know, have somebody back there, maybe even to give Cade McNamara a little bit more time, because there were some times last week when he didn't have a lot of time to throw in. So maybe you want to keep a blocker back there, who knows. But the tight ends, I think they try to figure out a way with the depth they have in that room, okay, how can they use those guys? And you saw that last week. I think you probably see a little bit more of that this week. But I think you will also see maybe a fullback here and there just to kind of help ease the offensive line's struggles.
I also think we're going to see a lot of Iowa State pressure. I think they're going to come with blitz more than they usually do.
Oh, yes.
Knowing Cade McNamara, Kirk Ferentz said Tuesday, Cade McNamara is not going to sneak it. He's not going to run the football.
Which means that you know he's going to sneak it at some point. You know something will happen. I mean, there was a little bit of that gamesmanship you kind of felt, you know. But it is an issue for them. I mean, his mobility is an issue for them right now. And so I would imagine Iowa State is going to look for ways to try to take advantage of that and go after them more and do some different things to keep him, you know, just to kind of keep that off balance.
Small sample size, John, for each team, but what about the Iowa State offense against Iowa's defense?
That's going to be the one that's what's going to be really interesting for me, because it was hard to kind of gauge Iowa State's offense against. I mean, UNI is a good team. UNI is a very good FCS team, but it's not that kind of defense that they're going to see this week against Iowa. So the key to me is for Iowa is what they can do defensively. I thought they were very good on the back end of the defense. I thought they were really good at linebacker last week. If they can kind of keep that going, I think they do give Iowa State a little bit of trouble. Iowa State, again, going back to running the ball, they're going to have to run the ball against Iowa. They're going to try to maintain the clock, you know, try to do some different things with time of possession. But, you know, for Iowa, it's got to be, you know, get turnovers, do some different things, be a little bit more aggressive than they were last week. They were very good last week. But I think you're going to see a lot, again, probably some more pressure out of them too, because you've got an inexperienced quarterback out of them. So you're going to see kind of the same thing from both defenses, I think.
Is there any way in your mind or in your crystal ball you see this anything but a low-scoring, physical, just knockdown, drag-out game?
I don't. I mean, you know, could it happen? I mean, this game always has weird things happen to it. And, you know, you always have the feeling this could be 44-41 or something like that. But I just don't see it, because I think both these defenses are just so good. And both of these offenses have a lot of question marks. I see this being like a 17-14 game, you know, 21-17, somewhere around that. And that might even be an awful lot of points. I think it's going to be a really low-scoring game. And I think it's just going to come down to turnovers, you know, who makes the mistakes here and there. And, you know, Iowa wasn't very clean last week on offense. They had a lot of penalties, you know, a couple of false starts that you could tell really frustrated Cade McNamara. So they have to be cleaner on the offensive side of the ball, but I do think it's just going to be, you know, in that, you know, 17-14 range, somewhere around there.
John Bonenkamp joining us here at 3:43 on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. How would you grade out Iowa on their first look of the year? I mean, as a whole, did they at least answer some of the questions that you had about this team or various phases of the game anyway last week, or is it still up in the air?
I think they were – I was really impressed with – I mean, and I wasn't worried about their defense, but there were some question marks here and there. You know, okay, what was the linebacker? What were they going to do there? You saw Jay Higgins just had a monster game.
He was amazing.
So, yeah, so that question I think was answered for me. To me, the biggest questions, you know, still remain on offense. Can this line get better? Can this line get more consistent? That's my thing. Just be more consistent. You know, how is Cade McNamara's injury going to impact this game and games down the road? So there's still a lot of questions left on the offensive side of the ball. I want to see where they kind of improve from this week to next week. If some of those problems that cropped up last week crop up again this week, then I think there might be a problem here or there that you're going to have to try to figure out a way to solve. But if you see improvement, then it doesn't worry me so much. But really, to me, the questions that haven't been answered are on the offensive side of the ball.
Special teams could certainly play a big factor, and I think
each
team has equally skillful players at the punter and place kicking positions, but maybe Iowa a tad edge in experience.
Yeah, and that makes a big difference in games like this sometimes. I mean, you know, Torrey Taylor, you know, said he loves this game. He loves playing in this game. And he was very unhappy with how he punted last Saturday. I mean, the first punt of the game gets blocked or partially blocked. I do think Iowa, you know, maybe has an edge there on special teams. And that may become a key, especially when with punting the ball, because that can reverse field position in a hurry. And then defense can put an offense into a situation where you can get a turnover and get some points out of it. So if there is going to be a turning point in the game on Saturday, I do think it comes on special teams.
And is this more of a game? I keep looking at this game, not that someone's going to take it and run with it. I think somebody's going to have a colossal gaffe and lose this game.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, think back to that game a few years ago with the punt, you know, late in the game that was muffed and Iowa, you know, recovered. When you have a low scoring game like that, all it takes is that one mistake to turn it around. And I think you probably see that in this game. And it probably comes, you know, somewhere in the second half, I would think, where it's just, you know, somebody needs to take momentum and they get it off a mistake, whether it's on special teams, whether it's a turnover somewhere around there. But I do think there's going to be that one momentum-changing play that really makes a difference in this game.
The contract for this series, John, runs through 2027, but with some stipulations, should – one conference add teams, grow, could ask for an out in the game, the annual game anyway, with perhaps 10 conference games in the Big Ten on the horizon. What's the future of this game?
I think if it goes to 10 games, I think the future gets, you know, a little bit, you know, gets very questionable in my mind. I hope not, because I know Iowa fans don't like this game. I know they would give anything in the world to not have to play it. But I think it's a good game. I think it's good to have a rivalry game in September. I think it's good to experience that for what you face when you get into conference play. I don't have a problem with the game. I hope it goes a lot longer than just where the contract runs out. But, yeah, if it goes to 10 conference games, then that future does look really questionable in my mind. But I hope they keep playing it. I like it.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's good for the state. It's good for both programs. But if they – and you know 10 conference games is coming and you want a 7 home game schedule, then it gets a little murky.
I keep waiting for the day where it's just 12 conference games. I mean, they've hinted around, you know, that with this expanded conference, maybe that's all you play in basketball is just, you know, 30 conference games. I don't know. It's everything, you know, everything is so up in the air at this point. And I like I said, if it does go to 10 conference games, then, you know, they're going to play a couple of easy games here and they're not going to. And so that may end the series in my mind, but I just really hope it doesn't happen.
I hope it doesn't either, but it, and then you also got to take a look at, you know, you are very close to Western Illinois, Northern Iowa, and them. They need these games to pay for their athletic departments.
Exactly. And that is the fear, I think, moving forward is where, you know, some of these matchups go, just because, you know, it is a TV show now. Let's be honest. That's all college football is a TV show. And if the networks deem those games that they don't want them, then these teams aren't going to play them. And it is kind of scary moving forward for the future of the sport, but I just have a feeling that it's going to get worse, I think, before it gets better as we move down the road.
Very true. Very true indeed. Who's your pick? Or do you want to divulge that?
I'm gonna say Iowa 17-14. I think it's a late field goal, and I think it comes after a turnover.
Okay. All right. But a good game.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a good game. I think it's gonna be a rock fight. I mean, I think it's gonna be, you know, there isn't gonna be a lot of points to it. I think it's just gonna be a really defensive game. And of course, as I say that, it's gonna be 45. I just don't want a 5-hour thunderstorm delay. I don't want any of that. Let's just have a decent game. So
I don't think you're going to get the thunderstorm delay, but
no.
There's going to be plenty of politicos and all other senses there Saturday. So
yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, you sound like Kirk.
Yeah, I sound like Kirk.
All right. Anybody, hey, before we let you go, anything really surprise you about the first week of college football, or maybe the Big Ten in general or the Big 12 in general?
No, I think, you know, I didn't really get to watch a whole lot of games on Saturday just from being in Iowa City and all that. But I think that Big Ten West is just up in the air. I just don't see anybody there right now that you look at and say, hey, this is the team that's the favorite. I think that division is going to be kind of just see who kind of grabs it in mid-October, whatever. But that, to me, was my biggest takeaway, is that just none of them look really, you know, stand out to me. So
I think we can eliminate Purdue and Northwestern.
Yeah, I think those two are gone out of that. But then the other ones are all kind of like, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how the next few weeks kind of shake out.
It will. It will indeed. All right. John, keep up the great work. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
See you ya. Bet. John Bonenkamp joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Western Illinois hung with New Mexico State for about 2.5 quarters in Las Cruces last Saturday night. And then things kind of went crazy south after about that. Before we get to a break here, 1385 on the text line, and one of the big surprises, I still think, from the first weekend of college football, Colorado, Deion Sanders and the Suns saying that you neglected to mention anything about Travis Hunter. He could win the Heisman Trophy this year. Thanks. We did talk about Travis Hunter, Mark. He's great. I don't think he's going to win the Heisman, but if he keeps this up, keeps getting interceptions, and keeps getting touchdown passes, you never know. Media folks like great stories like that. And he is a tremendous, tremendous football player.
Yeah, two-way guy, but the whole key is, can Colorado keep winning? Because, you know, very few Heisman winners come from mediocre, if not worse, programs. So another big game to watch this week certainly is Nebraska at Colorado.
Are we picking that one tomorrow?
We are.
All right. Love it. Love it. We'll have that tomorrow for you. Our second edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 for you. We'll take a break, come back. Bowling Night in America, week one in the books. We'll talk about it when we return. And it was bowling night in America, week number one last night. And thanks to Tom, everybody at Maze City Bowl, the official sponsor of all things associated with bowling night in America, which got underway last night. Great to see everybody back there. Wayne taking over from Mike Hoskins as far as the secretary is concerned. Mike's still bowling, though, and that is great to see. But just a lot of good camaraderie last night, and then you top that, Mark, with how we bowled, and it was a great first night.
It was. The Rusty Nails were shorthanded, but hardly handicapped. 26-4, a Rusty Nails victory in points. Tied for first after week one of 33. And this is like your baseball team winning the first six of the season, and there's 156 to go.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, couldn't ask for a much better start.
No, tied for first. And, yeah, can't beat that. And we must say that the other team did not have their best night. So that happens, and we were very consistent last night. Almost a 300 out of the chute in game one last night. Came down to the last ball.
Andy Kramer with a 299 for a high game. Don't know what he missed. Maybe you did.
I don't know what he missed. I don't know.
He had a high game for the night. Darren Bloomquist, an 808 series to cop honors in that category.
Yeah, and that was a good way to start things off, like we mentioned last night. And if you would like to inquire, they are still taking teams and individuals as far as fall leagues are concerned, Mark. So go ahead and give the great staff out there in Maze City Bowl a call, or stop on by and see what they have in the pro shop as well.
I will. The phone number is 362-0136. Plenty of information on the website, MayCityBowlCR.com.
All right. Tomorrow on the program, we will reconvene at 3 o'clock for the gym class. We'll look back at tonight's Chiefs-Lions game, Iowa and Iowa State. We will dissect that, get your predictions, and have the Emil's Hideaway pick six for you coming up tomorrow. And we'll get the panel together and have somebody out there get a chance to win a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. I don't know if Kelsey's going to play. Sneaking suspicion. I can see it both ways. If he can, he's going to play. I still think the Chiefs win. Might not be by a whole lot, though. They're going to miss Chris Jones, I think, tonight. But should be a fun night at Arrowhead. Going to be a great night. They were lining up 3:30 this morning to get in, as far as the tailgating is concerned. That's all you need to know. Football is back.
Jeez, that's Brommel camp time.
Yes, they were up before Todd. All right, talk to you tomorrow. You've been listening to the gym class right here on KGYM.